All right, Alexander, we are going to be covering, I think we're going to be covering Libya a lot these days because there's a lot going on in the entire region in the Mediterranean, but it seems that Libya has become the focal point of what's going on, and there are a lot of players and a lot of actors. We just put up a video with what's going on with Egypt and Turkey and the proxy war in Libya that is escalating, but we have a very big player in that region, and that is France. And Macron said some pretty strong words to Turkey, condemning them for their actions in Libya. He also blasted Russia as well for what Russia, I don't want to say what Russia is doing in Libya, but the fact that Russia is taking a very light-handed approach in dealing with Erdogan and what he's doing in the region. So get into what Macron said and how you see the situation brewing in the Mediterranean and in Libya. Let me just give a quick note to say that Macron made these statements at the Elysee Palace, where he was joined with his Cypriot counterpart. And Cyprus is also a player in this mess.
Indeed, you're absolutely right, Alex. I mean, this is now becoming an ever bigger international conflict. Now, I know and I understand that for many people, Libya just doesn't seem that important. It's, you know, this a country in North Africa. It's not very populous. There's a very complicated civil war there, and it just doesn't have the drama for some people that, say, the Syrian war or the Iraqi war did. But in terms of its geopolitical significance, it is perhaps as important, if not even more important, because Libya, if you look at where it is right at the southern shore of the Mediterranean Sea. It is directly opposite, you know, France, Italy, the center of the Mediterranean. And for these countries, it is incredibly sensitive. And if you're talking about Greece, if you're talking about Cyprus, the establishment of Turkish presence in Libya and the establishment, if you like, of a Turkish proxy regime in Libya means that the Turks are able to make claims to huge expanse of territorial waters with Turkish, with Libyan support, which outflanks Greece and Cyprus and interrupts their energy projects. And if you're talking about France and Italy, well, of course, not only is Libya, you know, tremendously important for them because it's in a kind of way their neighbor, you know, across the sea. So, I mean, they're worried about the fact, you know, that they could, their immigration could flood into their countries via Libya. In fact, it's been happening. But of course, the other thing is, if either Turkey or Russia were to establish permanent bases there, it would completely change the entire political and strategic geography of the Mediterranean. I mean, think about it, a Russian naval or aircraft base in Libya, it would bring Russian aircraft within range of France. I mean, that is quite a dramatic shift, if you think about it, in the strategic balance. I'm not saying, by the way, that that's the Russian strategy or the Turkish strategy. It might be the Turkish strategy. I don't think it's the Russian strategy. But you can understand why the French, especially, are so nervous about it. They acted to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi's regime in 2011.
Sarkozy
did, exactly. Sarkozy acted to overthrow Gaddafi's regime in 2011. The aircraft that were bombing, French aircraft that were bombing Gaddafi's troops, were flying from France. You know, Russian aircraft, if they were ever based in Libya, could reach France. The French went to all that trouble to destroy Gaddafi. They didn't expect that they'd get the Russians there. Now, I just want to say that because, of course, the other thing is, I mean, putting all that aside, one can understand Macron's concerns, but just think of the hypocrisy. He talks about, you know, the Russians and the Turks causing all this trouble in Libya. And of course, who destabilized Libya. The country that was the most aggressive of all was France. Sarkozy's regime played this absolutely pivotal role in supporting the resistance to Gaddafi and bringing Gaddafi's regime crashing down, setting the scene for the civil war and this collapse of the Libyan state, which the world has been wrestling with. Now, let's put all that, I mean, that's just by way of background. What Macron is talking about is that there's been a yet another discussion between the Russians and the Turks, which is with the view to trying to broker some kind of an agreement in Libya. And of course, that makes the French extremely nervous. And that is why he's criticizing them. He's criticizing the Turks because he's worried about a Turkish presence in Libya. He doesn't want to see a big Turkish presence established there. The French are very hostile to Turkey entering the European Union. They have very close historic relations with Greece and Cyprus. But of course, on top of all of that, he doesn't want Libya becoming a kind of Russian-Turkish condominium. Whether that is even on the agenda is most unlikely. But this is why he is talking in this extraordinary way. So he wants, I'm not quite sure what he wants, but he doesn't want to see the Turks and the Russians in Libya. And he's not really putting forward any very concrete proposals of his own, but that's what his concerns are.
Okay, so let me read you some of Macron's own words, his statements. And once again, he was with Cyprus President Anastasiadis as well in front of the Elise Palace. Quote, Cyprus can confirm France's support for it and Turkey's breach of the sovereignty of Cyprus as well as Greece is condemned. And anyone who violates the Eastern Mediterranean Sea borders must be punished. Macron said that Russia and Turkey are interfering for their interests in the Eastern Mediterranean region while Europe does little, calling on Europeans to think deeply about their Mediterranean policy and take tougher measures. Macron pointed out that both Turkey and Russia are looking to increase their strategic influence in the Mediterranean region where tensions increase over energy resources, saying that these interventions will affect the security of Europe. I took those quotes from Al-Masdar News, and let me read you another quick quote, this one from Igathi Merini, from Macron once again. I stand fully behind Cyprus and Greece in the face of the Turkish violations of their sovereignty. It is unacceptable that the maritime space of EU member states be violated and threatened. Those who are doing that must be sanctioned. He said it would be a serious mistake, that's a quote, serious mistake for the EU not to respond. Those are strong words coming from Macron. Very strong words.
They're
strong words against Russia, very strong words against Turkey, and also a warning to the European Union.
Well, indeed, all of those things. Now, can we just explain what he's talking about? Because this is an area which is very sensitive for Greece and for Cyprus, which is that the Turks have been making extremely aggressive claims, basically extending their exclusive economic zone in the Eastern Mediterranean. They've been pushing it outwards, making extraordinary claims that, Turkey's continental shelf somehow entitles them to an economic zone in the Mediterranean Sea, which will basically surround Greek islands and Cyprus. So Erdogan and the Turks want to turn the Eastern Mediterranean, in effect, into a Turkish lake. And this has been an issue which, of course, the Greeks and the Cypriots have been resisting. And they're getting a lot of backing from France. France, of course, has been a historic friend of Greece and Cyprus. But, I mean, I also pointed out that they also the French also have their own big security interests with respect to Libya and with respect to Turkish behavior. So all of this makes complete sense from a French point of view. I think it also makes complete sense from a legal point of view. I mean, I've seen arguments that the Turks are saying that that their continental shelf entitles them to push their exclusive economic zone far beyond Greek islands and to encircle Cyprus. I mean, I have to say, I think that's absolute nonsense. I think that legally doesn't stand up at all. I think it's ever taken to the international court in The Hague, that the World Court, that would be completely thrown out. I think it completely misunderstands and misrepresents the law on the sea. And I think that the Turks and Erdogan are being incredibly aggressive about this. And of course, what the European Union has been saying is that the Turks, if they really believe in this case, should actually take it to the court, which the Turks, of course, have not done because they know perfectly well that they don't have a legal case there. But having said all of this, what is Macron actually going to do? What is he going to do to resist Turkey? Now, he talks about sanctions, hugely powerful words. Will the EU, because it has to be the EU, actually impose sanctions on Turkey? Perhaps. But I have to wait and see. I have to say, I wonder. I mean, they've had lots of opportunities to do it. They've not done it up to now. And Greece and Cyprus, they're getting all these words from Macron, look to Europe, get the support of Europe. But Europe has done absolutely nothing up to now to resist this Turkish pressure. It's never been this, great ally of Greece and Cyprus with respect to Turkey that Macron seems to be setting it up to be. So what it seems to me might happen is that Macron is going to make all these, very powerful words. It'll enrage Erdogan because, he's the kind of person who's easily enraged. It will make him even more militant because that's how he tends to respond. But will it actually lead to anything from the Europeans? I doubt it. And if it doesn't, it could leave the Greeks and the Cypriots, if they take these words of Macron, hanging out to dry, because they might assume that they have Europe at their back, and then they discover that they actually don't.
Yeah, no, they don't have Europe at their back. I doubt Merkel will ever move forward to place sanctions on Turkey. Merkel, I doubt that she'll
I
support
agree.
such an initiative.
I agree, and I'm going to say something else. I think the US would oppose it. And I think when it comes to these sort of sanctions wars, it's the US that has the final decision because the US still has an absolutely vital relationship with Turkey. So I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, look, I don't think this has to do that much with natural gas exploration or
No.
oil exploration on Turkey's part. My feeling on this is that this is very much in line with the Hagia Sophia.
Yeah.
Erdogan is telegraphing what he wants to accomplish the next 2 to 5 years. Just like he said, he's going to make Hagia Sophia into a mosque. He has said many times that he has questions about the validity of Greece. His borders.
Yeah.
He wants those islands close to Turkey. I think he's making moves and positioning himself so that somewhere down the line in the future, he's going to be in a position to negotiate the occupation of those islands in and around Turkey. So Greece needs to, a word of warning to the Greek government, whichever government it is, be prepared. Erdogan is a crafty, sneaky guy. And all these
Absolutely.
moves are not happening in a vacuum. This
No.
does not have to do with natural gas and oil or
No.
anything. This has to
No.
do with Erdogan's vision of a greater Ottoman type of empire. And he now has his sights set on those islands. But Alexander, another question. I'd like you to comment on that. And then a final question for you. Doesn't it bother you, Russia's stance with Turkey?
Yes.
After all the things Turkey did to Russia,
Yeah.
and I'll name two of them, the shooting down of the airplane, the
Twenty-four.
Su-24, and the murder of the Russian ambassador
Yes.
in Turkey, just to name two. Doesn't it bother you, Russia's geopolitical strategy vis-a-vis Turkey? Does Russia honestly believe that they're going to be able to turn Turkey away from NATO? Do they honestly buy into that? Do they honestly believe that they'll be able to turn Turkey into a trusted ally? Historically, the Russians and the Turks are not natural allies. They never have been. My opinion is they never will be.
No, I agree.
Putin may want to will it, but I'm sorry, President Putin, not even you have that much power.
No, no. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. What Putin himself thinks, I have no idea. I mean, this is the kind of thing where he's extremely careful not to express his views with any great deal of openness. But I think from the Russians' point of view, first of all, it's important to say that there are an awful lot of Russians. I mean, I know that there are. You can see it in the Russian media, who are very, very critical of Turkey, say exactly the kind of things about Turkey that you say. I would add a third thing to the list that you've just given. Erdogan has made very clear his support for the Maidan government in Ukraine. I mean, you would have thought that from a Russian point of view, that is a very sensitive issue. And yet they swallowed that one also. Why do the Russians persist with this policy of rapprochement with Turkey, or at least of staying close to Turkey? I think there are a number of reasons. Firstly, there is an economic one. I mean, they wanted to build TurkStream, which they have. They wanted to use Turkey as a transit state, because they've lost confidence in Ukraine. So that they've achieved, that was an important thing for them. I don't think that pipeline collection is at risk any longer, whatever happens to the political relations between Turkey and Russia. The second thing from a Russian point of view was that they intervened, as we know, in Syria. Syria is an extremely complicated war. And I think they calculate that if they're going to stabilize Syria for the long term, they need at least some degree of Turkish compliance. Because otherwise, if the Turks are completely hostile to what the Russians are trying to do in Syria, then the conflict in Syria becomes a lot more complicated, because then the jihadi fighters in Syria have a secure base area and they could be turned against Russia. So Erdogan has that lever over the Russians, which has been playing. And the third thing is that the Russians fought a very, very long war in the Northern Caucasus to defeat a jihadi insurgency that was raging there in places like Chechnya, in Dagestan. Now, they managed to defeat that, in fact, defeat it entirely, but this was partly done by getting Turkey to close its supply routes to these people. So I think that these are three facts which have, to some extent, made the Russians decide that they're going to swallow an awful lot of what Erdogan does, because at least in the short term, it serves their interests too. I have to make one very final point, and I make it with regret. I think Greece, especially under Mr. Tsipras, played its diplomatic games with Russia very, very badly. And I think that I've just seen that our current Prime Minister, Mr. Mitsotakis, perhaps because he listens to the Duran and follows our advice, has now telephoned Mr. Putin. And they had a very interesting discussion in which they talked about Hagia Sophia, and they talked about Libya, and they talked about many of the things that we're talking about. It is an essential move that the Greeks need to rebalance Russia's policies, and they need to show to the Russians that they're prepared to work with them about things that the Russians care about, which includes things like the Patriarchate, the decisions with the Ukrainian church, all of those kind of things. So that's a necessary move by the Greeks, but overall, there is still all of those factors that I was talking about mean that the Russians are going to be careful in their handling of the Turks.
What about the NATO factor?
I don't think the Russians really expect Turkey to leave NATO. And I think this is I know there are some people in Russia who talk like that. I mean, Alexander Dugin, you know, the person we sometimes hear of yours mention, he's very pro-Turkish for some reason. I've never understood why. And he believes that Turkey is this, you know, civilizational state, somehow hostile to the West, and, you know, that he can somehow draw it into this Eurasianist world and turn it against NATO. I think this is, to say that it's a minority view almost overstates it. I don't think people in Russia really take those kind of grand strategic plans at all seriously. I think for the moment they understand, or at least they think they have to work with Turkey. I think from their point of view, they're very cold-blooded calculus. Russians are very cold-blooded in the way they conduct diplomacy. They're very cold-blooded calculus. It's worked for them so far. It means that Syria, the Assad government has been stabilized in Syria, has been able to expand its areas of control. They've got Turkstream. They've stabilized the Northern Caucasus. But these grand strategic plans of drawing Turkey away from NATO, breaking its connection to the United States, pulling it into the Eurasian orbit, I think anybody in Moscow of any real importance believes any of that.
All right. And the wild card in all of this that may ruin Turkey's plans in Libya and the region may actually come from Egypt instead of France?
Yes. Absolutely. And Egypt, we've discussed this in our, you know, in another video, but of course, Egypt has a much more powerful position to intervene in Libya than Turkey actually does, because, of course, it's got geography on its side. I mean, it's actually borders on Libya, and it doesn't just border on Libya, but Egypt is an Arab state and Turkey is an Arab state. So there are those cultural and ethnic affinities which Turkey doesn't have. Turkey is far away, you know, relatively speaking. Egypt is on the borders, on the doorstep. Now, Erdogan, by the way, has predictably acted furiously to the talk about Egypt perhaps intervening in Libya. And Erdogan is saying that he's going to send more troops to Libya if the Egyptians intervene there. I think that, you know, incredibly reckless thing to do, because in that kind of place in Libya, the Egyptians, to coin a phrase, will always have escalatory dominance over Turkey, because they are on Libya's border. So they can send troops directly into Libya, whereas Erdogan has to fly them there. And he's going to fly them there over, you know, past Greece, past Syria, past Egypt, all countries hostile to himself, backed by countries like France. So, I mean, it's not really a very clever strategy. But with Erdogan, he's always complicated. You know, he talks very aggressively. As you absolutely rightly said, within all the bluster, there's always a calculation and a slyness. And maybe that's why he's now talking again to the Russians, Erdogan is, about, you know, brokering some kind of a peace deal in Libya. So he always plays those moves with some skill. And by the way, I completely agree with you, what you said a few moments ago, that, you know, his immediate plan is not Libya in the end. Libya is a means to an end. The end is to establish Turkish domination in the Eastern Mediterranean. And you're quite right. I think he does have his eye on some of those Greek islands. I'm sure
of it. It's the, what's the treaty? The Lausanne Treaty?
Lausanne, the Treaty of Lausanne. Yeah.
That they have, that they've actually called that the legality of that treaty into question.
They have, exactly so. So, I mean, I think this is absolutely his objective. And I think it's also his objective, you know, to Islamicize Turkey. And the position of the Patriarchate of Constantinople in Istanbul is now in danger. A fact which I think many people in Greece don't seem to grasp. But it's very inconsistent with the kind of policies that Erdogan is now following. Can I just say something? I think a lot of people in Greece and elsewhere are getting this very mixed up with the old Ottoman Empire. The old Ottoman Empire was a massive, multinational, multi-confessional empire. Of course, the government was Muslim, and it was a Muslim empire at some level, but it had many, many Christians in it. And from the Ottoman perspective, maintaining the patriarchate in Constantinople was useful because it gave Christians within this huge multinational empire a focus of, you know, authority, which was ultimately under the Turkish Sultan. Turkey is not like that. Turkey is a, you know, ethnically and religiously homogeneous Muslim Turkish state. They don't need the patriarchate anymore to maintain themselves in Turkey. So from a Turkish point of view, it really serves no purpose anymore. And they could very easily decide that they don't need it and that they should close it down because it is an embarrassment to them. And can I just add, there was, you talked about Hagia Sophia, and we've talked about how very, you know, quiet, how very subdued the Russian reaction was to that, which once upon a time, it might have been expected to be much stronger. But there was an even more disturbing act by the Russians a few days ago, which has not been reported, which is that the Russians are now apparently saying, well, you know, look, if you're going to start taking all these actions against, you know, Hagia Sophia, against the Patriarchate, all that in Turkey, that's fine. What we would like, however, is Russian church property in Turkey, which was lost at the time of the Russian Revolution, to be restored to the Russian Orthodox Church. It seems to me it's a sign of the Russians saying to themselves, the Patriarchate of Constantinople is not our friend. The Greek church in Turkey is basically a lost cause. If we're going to establish a Christian presence in Turkey, let's substitute a Russian one. Now, that's what Mr. Tsipras and his policies have achieved.
And Patriarch Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
He shot himself in the foot.
Exactly. I mean, it hasn't been noticed. But I, you know, for me, as a Greek Orthodox Christian, that I find that a very, very worrying development indeed. It suggests that they don't really set much store. The Russians don't set much store on the Patriarchate of Constantinople any longer. So if Erdogan moves against it, Russia, the biggest Orthodox state, might not intervene.
Yeah, there's a lot of trouble brewing in the region.
Absolutely. And you know, it seems to me, I mean, Cyprus, to some extent Greece, are starting maybe to wake up to the implications of this and are perhaps, well, I mean, Mitsotakis has now spoken to Putin. So, yeah, they're taking very, very, you know, very late in the day certain steps. But I still don't think they really understand how dangerous this game is for them. And I come back to what I said earlier in our program, relying on the Europeans isn't going to help you. I mean, they're not going to be there for you when you need them. Monsieur Macron can come to Cyprus. He wasn't in Cyprus. He was in the Elysee, but he can say all sorts of brave things about sanctions and Europe standing firm and all of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's not on the front line. And it's not his decision. It's the decision will not be made in Paris. It will be made in Washington and in Berlin. And I don't really see that decision being made on his behalf. And I think any Greek and any Greek Cypriot who counts on it is deluding themselves.
Yeah. Europe is going to sanction Hungary or Poland before they sanction.
That's absolutely
Turkey.
True. I mean, that's entirely right. I mean, that's exactly where it's going. I mean, that is exactly the priority of the European elite.
Yeah.
They are far more concerned about people like Orban and, you know, the Duda and Kaczynski than they are about, you know, what happens in Turkey and Greece. And can I point out something else, since we've talked a lot about Christianity and its role in this, all of this? People in, you know, Europe, the European centre, are anti-Christian, most of them. They don't care about these things. One of the reasons they don't like Orban and Duda and Kaczynski is because these are conservative Christians.
Yeah. Now, Greece, you know, Greece has to wake up. They have to wake up and they have to get involved in, it's a small country, but they have to get involved in some power politics, much in the same way that, that Erdogan plays it up. The Greek government needs to play it up, and they need to get involved with Russia. They need to get involved with China, with the United States, and they need to get in the freaking game because they're always on their back foot and they always run crawling hat in hand, like a bunch of weak, just weak simps to the European Union.
Yes.
And the European Union just gives a lot of lip service.
Exactly.
But they're doing absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. They won't do anything at all. I mean, all they will do is enrage Erdogan, embolden him, and leave Greece and Cyprus hanging out to dry. I mean, that's what they will always do. I mean, think of if we go back in time, so many things have happened in the Eastern Mediterranean. There have been so many confrontations between Greece and Turkey and Cyprus and Turkey. And what has the European Union done? And what has it actually achieved on behalf of Cyprus and Greece? I can't see it.
Yeah. No, I mean, the whole, you were supposed to go for like 10, 15 minutes, but we've got a lot longer. But anyway, the whole issue at hand for me is that Erdogan has moved Turkey so far away from the secular Turkey.
Yes.
Of Atatürk. I mean, it's an unrecognizable country.
Absolutely.
If you ask me, from what the Atatürk's vision was, say, for a secular Turkey. I think that vision is now shattered.
Yes.
It's shattered. It's gone.
Yes.
You now have the Greater Albania project flaring up as well.
Yes.
Up to the north of Greece.
Yes.
The Greeks really need to open up their eyes and come to grips with what's happening around them.
Absolutely.
Because if they don't, in the next 5 years, I'm telling you, in the next 5 years, they're going to be sitting there negotiating the islands in and around the mainland Turkey. They're going to actually be sitting there negotiating with Erdogan about those islands.
Yes, I agree. I mean, to be very clear, and I agree with that, by the way, I mean, his plan is not, you know, to land troops immediately on those islands. It is to make their position untenable. And he's achieving it.
He wants to sit at the table with Greece and say, okay, you have 5, 6 islands there. Give me 2 and you guys keep the 4. That's what he wants.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And that's what he will achieve. And he's heading in that direction. I mean, he's not playing his cards poorly. He has a tendency to overreach himself. But with Greece, I'm sorry to say this, he's up against an adversary which has played his cards consistently worse than he has done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Russia. And then there's Russia, which I just can't understand their geopolitics. I understand the points that you made. But my feeling always comes down to, I think at the end of the day, Russia will get burned by Turkey.
Well, they always do. I mean, it always ends with Russia and Turkey. It never ends well. But as I said, at this moment in time, they are perhaps a party that the Greeks do need to start speaking to. They need to start making that very point. That's that very point that you've just made to them. They can remind the Russians of some of those things.
Will Russia get involved in Libya? Final question.
Yes, I think strangely enough, I think it will. To some extent, they already are. I mean, I don't think they will send troops or lots of things, but they are quietly backing the Egyptians. They sent MiG fighters via Syria to Egypt to Haftar's forces. So yes, I think they will get involved in Libya, but I don't think it'll be, and this is where the problem always is, it will never be to try and throw the Turks out of Libya. It will be to try and achieve some kind of stabilization of Libya, which won't involve either Turkey becoming over-dominant or this country becoming, you know, a sort of festering area where jihadism can take hold. I don't think that they will move beyond that.
All right. A little bit of a long video, but a complicated topic.
Well, it's a very complicated topic and an important one. As I said, our viewers, I appreciate, as I said, this isn't something that may seem important. It is actually very important, and it affects a lot of countries. France is worried about it. Italy is worried about it.
Yeah. And I'll come back to my point. You have a lot of instability in Libya and in the Mediterranean region, but there's also now a lot of rhetoric coming out from the north in Albania as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely true.
A lot of rhetoric about the greater Albania vision is starting to creep up, and it's very unnerving to see that creep up.
Absolutely.
At the time.
Absolutely so.
Dark clouds on the horizon.
Absolutely. Well, in that part of the world, very much so.
Yeah. All right. Alexander Mercurs, Editor-in-Chief of the Duran. Thank you very much, guys. Click on that like, share the channel, help our channel grow. So just share it out, share this video out with everybody that you know. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe star. Send us a couple of drachmas or a couple of Turkish liras. I don't know if we'll get Turkish liras after this video. send us some money to help out this channel as well. And go to the Duran shop, pick up a magic mug. I've got the country on my mug right now, which we didn't talk about, and their involvement in Libya, actually. Or if they want to get involved in Libya outside of what Hillary Clinton did to the country.
Well, indeed. I've got it too, by the way. And yes, I think the United States will be involved, if only because the United States is always involved at some level. They're always there. And, of course, here's Greece, which is the other country we've been talking about. And by the way, on Turkish lira, can I also say there's lots of people in Turkey who are not persuaded of the wisdom of Erdogan's policies. And you know, there are people who still are committed to the Kemal's trajectory of a peaceful Turkey with peaceful neighbors and basically a secular Turkey. And there have been times when Greece and Turkey have been very good friends. And we've talked in other programs about, Kemal and İnönü, who was the Turkish foreign minister, very, very great friends with Venizelos, the Greek prime minister in the 30s. And there were even a time when they were allies. So, it's not something that's baked in the cake, if I can put it like that. But there's Greece, and there's Britain as well, from which I've been drinking tea, the best mugs in the world. As we've often said, if you go to our shop, you will find even better ones now, dare I say it, enameled ones at least, maybe not better, but, even more glamorous looking. You'll find our amazing shirts. You'll find that our amazing shirts are now increasing in variety. Alex has been refreshing our shop wonderfully with new merchandise and new products. You find all our wonderful shirts there. You find hats, hoodies, and stickers there. You'll find an expanding gallery of ebooks. All of these things are available for you to buy. You can be the proud owner, and you can support the Duran too by buying from our shop so that we can provide you with the kind of in-depth, detailed analysis that we have just done in this very complicated video. So come to our shop. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.